Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Debbie and I want to thank you for tuning in, and we pray that our time together, just like our son said, will prove to be a blessing to you. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, excited about the message God has laid on my heart, excited about the song Debbie's going to sing, excited about the fact that I have the privilege of opening the Word of God up and doing my best. I don't do as well as other people do, but I'm not trying to do. I'm not in competition with anybody. All I'm trying to do is what God called me to do, and I'm going to do that like the Word of God teaches us in the book of Ecclesiastes with all of my might, with all of my might. I'm going to preach about one of my favorite subjects, and that's just about every subject that I preach on. But this one is particularly close to my heart. It has to do with the second coming of Christ. It has to do with the rapture. It has to do, friend, that period of time that I believe is soon to see the church disappear from planet Earth. Looks like to me, that so many things point to the rapture, the harpazo, and the snatching away, the catching up of the church, friend, that it's undeniable. Now, you already know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the rapture. I'm going to use the text next, and I'll tell you why that I am. But before I do that, Deb's got one of my favorite songs. The title of it is Get Ready. If you are not ready, you need to, friend. Time's running out. Opportunity is passing us by. You can be ready today. If you're not, you can get ready today by trusting Christ as your Savior. I'll be back as soon as Deb gets done with the message.
Get ready for the trumpet.
Love that. I love love that. I love that. Can I tell you something? I'm living for that day. Friend, listen, I believe Jesus is coming soon. You say, why do I believe that? Well, the Word of God teaches us that. Jesus Himself said in John 14:3, He said, look, I go away to prepare a place for you, and if or since, or in light of the fact that I go away, I will come again, receive you unto myself. Now, where I am, there you may be also. Look, friend, if that were the only, and I've said this time and again, almost every time that I preach on the second coming of Christ, on the rapture, on the snatching away of the church, on any aspect of the second coming of Christ, I generally always say this, friend, look, if that were the only verse of Scripture, the Word of God, the promise that Jesus would come again, I believe it, thank God. Listen, I'm ready for it by the grace of God. I've been saved, my sins are under the blood, my name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, I've been sealed by the Spirit, I'm thrilled by the promise. Listen, friend, I am a current possessor of hope. And I'm telling you, because I'm in Christ, I'm just as good as if I were there. In fact, because I am in Christ, He is there, I'm already there. Just the fact that He's going to come and get me now. Listen, not everybody that even reads the Word of God understands everything the Word of God has to say. In fact, none of us do. I'm not trying to sound like I'm going to be a know-it-all today, but I'm going to tell you something. I spent a few hours in studying about the second coming of Christ. I'm telling you, friend, I live for it. I long for it. I still seek to learn about it, and I like trying to tell about it according to what the Word of God says. And that's got to be our authority. The Word of God must be our authority. I just read as I was doing some preparation for this message this morning, actually preparing my heart for this message as much as anything. And I read that a Dr. David Cooper said, and I'm not going to quote it all. I could reach over there and get the note off my desk, but I'm not going to quote everything that he had to say. So therefore, I don't know if he originated what I'm going to say in the beginning. But anyway, I was reading his comment, what he said, and he may have expanded on the original. But can I tell you, sir, ma'am, look, when the Word of God makes sense, we ought to seek for no other sense. If we get to a place the Word of God does not make sense to us, the Word of God will tell us this is a simple, this is a sign, this is something you ought to dig into, and the Word of God itself will explain to us what it is. It'll have its own commentary on that, and most of you probably already know that the Word of God is the best commentary in the Word of God that there is. But I've opened my Bible, the book of the Revelation, chapter 4. And one of the reasons, I suppose, today that I've been stirred and led by the Spirit of God. Look, when I was awake this morning, early, way before I got up, I mean, sometime in the middle of the night, around 4 o'clock, something like that, excuse me, this word came to my mind. And it is the word next. Now immediately, for whatever reason, I know it's the Holy Spirit, took me back to my childhood and to an event that happened regularly in my life. When I got sick, in those days we had a little doctor in our community. And at that time, our doctor still did house calls. And they got out of that as the older that had gotten time passed, a little special circumstance. You went to his office like you do now. And you went in now. Back then, in those days, there were a bunch of chairs in the waiting area. There was no secretary, nobody to check in, nobody to keep you time or whatever. What you did, you just looked around the room. You tried to remember faces and everybody's in there. And you tried to figure out when you would go. Well, when somebody went in, when he came back out, they'd go out an opposite door. They'd go out a back door. They'd never come back out through the waiting area. And Dr. Meeks was his name. He was unique in his own way. Did a great service in our area. He was a great man. Had a great talent. He used it to help multitudes of people. He'd open his door to his little office and where he had that autoclave smoking and it had that smell of medicine. It's rather unique. He'd open the door and say, next. Now listen. You had to figure out whether you were ready, whether you wanted to go next. And that's what this message is about. I'm just going to read verse 1 of chapter 4 of the book of the Revelation. And I'm tempted to just read, the first two words of it. That's where the emphasis is going to be. And I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 and 2. He said, after this, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I would, glory to God, that's good. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you, that's shouting down right there. Let me read that again. I heard a voice talking to me saying, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. That's a key to this. That's a hint now, by the way. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, the throne was in heaven, and one sat at the throne. I want to talk to you today, listen, about this. Next, look right here, John, who is the fellow that wrote down the message of the revelation when he was on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus transmitted it to him verbally, and John wrote it down. And John said this, after he told me about the church age, after I wrote about what had happened to me on Patmos, After I did those two things, he said, after this, and I'm going to explain that a little bit more, but I've turned back to chapter 1 and listen to what he said in verse 19. He said, write these things, first of all, which thou hast seen. That's what happened on the Isle of Patmos with John. He said, then you write the things which are. And that has to do, friend, with the things that we're dealing with the seven churches of Asia Minor that we have record of in chapter 2 and 3 of the book of the Revelation. And then he goes on in verse 19 of chapter 1, where he said, write those things which shall be hereafter. And those are the things which happen in chapter 4 and on in the book of the Revelation on through chapter 21. Hey, I'm here to tell you something, friend. Listen, bless God, we're soon to be out of here. Do you hear me? I believe the next great event on the calendar, a prophetic calendar of Almighty God, is the snatching away of the church. I believe, listen, friend, we can hear God saying next, and all of a sudden, bless God, a power overcomes us greater than gravity. Those of us whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, those of us that have been sealed by the Spirit of God, those of us who one day have nailed at an altar or bowed our head or humbled our heart somewhere and said, God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin, and by faith I receive Christ as my Savior. How one of these days, bless God, how that's what's going to happen next, how the church is going to be taken out of here. And according to what I see in the Word of God, according to what I see happening in the world that is around us, friend, I'm telling you, that's soon to happen, just any day now, without a doubt. Now look, I know there's a lot of difference of opinion about the second coming of Christ, about whether He'll come pre-tribulation or mid-tribulation or post-tribulation, or if it'll come at all. But can I tell you what? Listen, if you take the very truth of the Word of God, if you rightly divide it according to the way the Spirit of God will lead us, listen, friend, you'll come away with hope. Look, John, Paul told us, not John, but Paul told us in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and I'll get more of that passage maybe if the Spirit of God allows me to. Have it in verse 18, after he began to talk about the trumpet sounding, the dead in Christ rising, we which are alive and remain being caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How Paul ends that chapter with this. He said, wherefore, look at this now, comfort you one another with these words. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Bless God, you may be one of those that think the church ought to go through part of the tribulation. They need to go through the tribulation. They deserve to go through the tribulation. Well, I feel sorry for you, bless God. God's not called us to wrath. How about to salvation glory? Hallelujah. And I'll read that verse to you in a little bit. I'll give you that passage where it's at. I'll give you chapter and verse for that sad. Have a blessed God. I'll tell you what I like. I like thinking and knowing how that pre-millennial, before the thousand-year reign of Christ, pre-tribulation means how before the tribulation sets in at all. And I know some people divide that 70th week of Daniel up into three and a half years, and the Word of God does that. But they do that to separate it and say, well, the tribulation doesn't start till the last 3.5. Can I tell you, bless God, if you read the Word of God right, I know it's going to pick up steam in that last 3.5 years. How about that whole 7-year period of time is known as the tribulation, thank God. And I'll tell you what I am. You haven't guessed it yet. I'm a pre-tribulation millennials. I bless God, we're going out of here. How the trumpet's going to sound, and hallelujah, we're going. So like Brother David Cook, my blessed Brother David Cook, I said one time, he said, when I hear the toot, I'm going to scoot. Hallelujah, I like that. I listen to what Jesus Himself said over in the book of Luke, chapter 21. I'm going to get this to you and then turn over and read a verse out of the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. I listen to what He said in chapter 21 when He's talking about of the return of the Lord. Listen, He proceeds what He's going to say with the parable of the fig tree, and that speaks of the nation of Israel. I don't have time to spend any time on this. Have a listen to what He said in verse 34 and 5. He said, "Take heed to yourself, lest at any time you harden your heart, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day I comes upon you of unaware." Listen, Paul tells us in the 1 Thessalonians 5, how that we're not of the night, we're of the day. Bless God, listen. I'm telling you, when Christ comes in the revelation, when He comes even in the rapture, bless God, He's going to catch many people unaware. Have a look at this in verse 35. This points to the time after the church is snatched away. "For as the snare shall come upon all men that dwell upon the face of the earth." He said, "Therefore watch and pray." I thank God. Listen, friend. Listen to what He told the church of Philadelphia in chapter 3, verse 10. He says this. He said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, also will keep thee." That's what the word of God says. Not in, bless God, but from. How the higher temptations should come upon all the earth, to try them to dwell upon the earth. Hey, thank God, I'll tell you what's true. You can believe what man said, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe what the word of God said. How John said, Revelation 4:1, he said, "After this." Now look, friend, those seven churches of Asia Minor were real churches. I mean to tell you, they did business. I mean, Jesus knew them. He had purchased them with His blood. And you find Him in the beginning of this book, Revelation, in chapter 1, walking among the seven golden candlesticks. How blessed God, He knew them. They represented the church, the churches of that day in that area. But more than that, they represented the church in all of the church's age, from Pentecost to rapture, down here on planet Earth. Can I tell you, friend, listen, we're at the last phase of the church age. We're in that Laodicean church age. And I like what Brandon McClure said when he preached revival in revival for us. He said, "Look, I may be living in the Laodicean church age." He said, "I may be in the Laodicean church age, but," he said, "I'm living in Philadelphia." I like that, don't you? And here Jesus promised the church of Philadelphia. He said, "Listen, I'll keep you from him that good." Man, that'd make an old dried up Baptist shout, would it not? "I'll keep you from." Thank God, isn't that good? Bless God, listen. "There is therefore now no condemnation of those who in Christ Jesus." He said, "I'll also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth to try them that dwell upon the earth." Isn't that a glorious thing? Now listen, friend, I believe just any day now we're going to hear the shout of the archangel. We're going to hear the trump of God. We're going to hear the voice say, "I come up hither." I notice there again in the latter part, or in Revelation 4, John said, "After this," after we get the Laodicean church age and we're there, and that we're in that day of apostasy. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3, that Paul warned about. That day, friend, that time, that apostasy, that is like none other. That apostasy, that precedes the second coming of Christ. That apostasy, that Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, that would manifest itself by people who had itching ears, who will deep unto themselves teachers having itching ears, who will turn their ears from the truth and return unto fables. Hey, we're there. And we live in a time when nobody, I'm not going to say nobody, when far too few people want doctrine, want sound doctrine. Bless God, they want church their way. They want a word of God that's been written by man. That'll placate and pacify man. And I'll tell you, bless God, a man ought to keep his dirty, rotten hands off of the Word of God. Have that pure, infallible, eternal Word of God. Have that God has so fit to give, and, give to us. But look, friend, look, we're living in that day. The latter part of that Laodicean church age we find in verse 20 of chapter 3, Jesus on the outside. How that's where He's at on a lot of, at a lot of churches. He's on the outside of that entity that He purchased with His own blood, empowered by the Spirit, entrusted with His Word. Isn't that amazing? He's on the outside, say, preacher, who's on the inside man is. How blessed God in this pragmatic, emergent church age. Look, man thinks they know better than God. Thinks they know what man needs more than God knows. Thinks they can do it better, bless God, in the way that they design. But I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to do church the old-fashioned way. Where we worship and glorify God. When we seek to leave holy. Bless God, to be humbled in His presence. To offer Him praise. To hear what thus saith the Lord instead of what man thinks he needs. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you something. God's soon to come. Let me give you a couple of verses. Bless God to go along. Listen, man, this thing will preach. I'll tell you. Listen to what Paul said in 5 and 9 of the book of Romans. He said, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Isn't that good news? And thank God how that's good news. I don't know about you, but it's good news to me. Now listen, Jesus is going to come and bring the wrath of the Lamb. You can read that throughout the Revelation. How about Paul tells us again, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10. He said, for they themselves show us what manner of entering we had into you, and how that you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And listen to this. And to wait for His Son from heaven, who raised Him from the dead. Listen now, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Hey, thank God we're going out of here. And I believe it's soon to come. He said this in the book 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And oh, I'd like to be able to read, if I had time, I would, all the verses that come before it. But he said, listen in verse 4. He said, ye brethren are not in darkness, so that day should overtake you as a thief. He said in verse 2, he said, you know perfectly well the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. He said in verse 5, but ye are all the children of light. And therefore in verse 6, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and pray. He said in verse 9, now watch this, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul said up here in the fourth chapter, he said, now listen, here's where we get the idea of rapture. The word rapture isn't in the Bible, but the fact of it is, the truth of it is, thank God, bless God. You know what the word is? It is harpazo. We're going to be caught up. You know what that means? It means to be snatched away. It means to be taken by force. It means to be removed from one place to another. When Philip was down there with the eunuch in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, bless God, when he had led him to the Lord, when he had baptized him, the Bible said, the Spirit taketh Peter away. He transported him from one place to another. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe it is, oh, maybe 2 and 4, verses 2 and 4. I'm not looking at it. But you know what the Word of God said? Paul said this. He said, I know a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. One caught up. I use that phrase, harpazo. Bless God, that means to be taken by force. I want to tell you something, friend. Thank God, not long from now, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? That's the question, are you ready? You don't have to understand, bless God, the doctrinal components of this, but I want you to know Jesus has saved us from wrath. Do you hear me? He won't save us through wrath. He died for us. He suffered our hell, our separation from God. And this tribulation time is not for the church anyway. It's for the nation of Israel. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. Bless God, it is Daniel's people's 70th week. I'm here to tell you, friend, how you can evade it. You can avoid it. I mean to tell you, it's going to be a time when hell breaks loose on earth. God's going to be in control. Don't you take me wrong. God's going to bring judgment upon the Jew and the Christ rejecting Gentile. But you, friend, if you're saved, you ought to rejoice. You ought to be glad. You ought to find comfort. But John said after this, thank God just any day now we'll hear that voice of the archangel, have the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise. We which are alive and remain shall be changed to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDeBbie at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.